Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Happy Independence Day or day after. It is good to see everybody out in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen and amen. Well, as always, thank you guys for being out with us at our Sunday service. And for those online, you are welcome as well. It is good to see everybody out. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. It is good that when those doors open, that you do your best to always show up. Always, always show up. Unless there is something drastic in life, there is no other place that we should be on Sunday. Amen. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. A couple of weeks ago, I ministered from the same text in Luke 5. And after that week, I went back to the text. And as you guys know, the Word of God is living. It is sharp. And you can read one thing one week and come back and read that same text, and then it just opens up. So we're going to be in Luke 5 this morning. Luke 5 this morning. You know, since I've stepped into this office of pastor, most of my thoughts during the week is, God, what do you want to tell your people? What do you want to say to them? Because truthfully, if you just study the Bible just a little bit, you can almost preach anything, right? So it's never, what does Ike want to preach, or what does Ike think, or what have I learned? It's, no, God, what do you want to say to your people? What do you have to give your people? Because as much as I love you, God loves you more. God has a plan for you. God knows what you are going through, not me. So I need to be able to hear from him as to what he wants to feed his people. And sometimes that can feel like pressure. I mean, just being real, like, what great sermon can I preach that will make you love God more? What can I say for you or to you that will make you chase after God more? See, a sermon only goes so far. And the more I've preached, the more it has dawned on me that my sermon won't change your life. Many pastors preach like their sermons actually do change lives, but only God can change a life. A sermon only goes so far. And I know we've all heard great sermons and we all have speakers that we like. You know, some of us like guys who shout, some like guys who are a bit more quiet. But we all have our own flavor. And in fact, 500,000 sermons are preached every single Sunday. Every single Sunday in this nation. And yet, our nation still looks the way it looks like. So sermons only go so far. They only go so far. And the job of a minister is simply to sow the seed and water the seed. And even that takes wisdom, because too much seed and too much water can damage the soil, right? So it takes wisdom from the Lord to know how much to give and how much to say. So today, my goal is simple. Just preach the message, step back, and let God do what he does best. Amen? So Luke chapter 5, starting with verse 1. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Verse 3. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon Peter, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. So I truly want you to picture what this scripture is saying. I truly want you to put yourself in verse 1. The crowd pressed in. The crowd came to church. The crowd pressed in to hear the word of God. They did not skip church. They were not late. They came in to hear the word of God, which is a good thing. We should always press in. As I said, we should always show up when the church doors are open. And we see here that, of course, this is at the start of the ministry of Jesus. So everybody was hearing about this new preacher named Jesus. We have to show up and hear what he's saying. So yes, we ought to press in. Yes, we ought to do what we need to do to hear the word of God. But if we're paying close attention, the text shows us two things. It says, once again, in verse 3, then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon, and asked him to pull out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. So though the crowd pressed in, Jesus was at a distance. Though the crowd came to church, Jesus was still at a distance. So it is possible to be faithful, to come to church and to hear the sermon, and yet Jesus is at a distance. It is possible to sit under the word of God Sunday after Sunday, but you have come with the crowd and you are keeping Jesus at a distance. We see here that Jesus was at a distance. And we also see that there were actually two audiences in this text. The first one was the crowd, which was at a distance from Jesus. The second one was Simon. Simon Peter. Simon Peter was also there as well. Now, just like we have here this very morning, everyone in this room is hearing my voice. Everyone in this room is hearing this sermon. So both the crowd and both Simon heard the same sermon. They heard the same words from Jesus, word from word. But the crowd heard from the shore, and Simon heard from his boat. And verse 4 says, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And let down your nets for a catch. So for those gathered in the crowd who came for just the sermon, they got what they came for. They came to hear this hot new preacher who was bold and fiery and all those things that we like. They came to hear him preach, and they heard him preach. And the text says, and when he stopped preaching, so the sermon had ended, but yet Jesus was still speaking. See, we often come to church and we hear the man of God speak, and once he's done speaking, that's it. Once he's done speaking, well, that's all the Jesus I'm going to get for the day. But the truth is that Jesus was still speaking. Even after that sermon was done, Jesus was still speaking. But this time, Jesus was not speaking to the crowd. Jesus was not preaching a sermon, but he was talking to the actual audience that let him in their boat. See, we come to church and we leave our boats at home. We leave our vessels at the house. So this morning, where are you? Did you come with the crowd just to hear someone get on stage and tell you that God loves you and God has a plan, you know, for your life? Or did you come with Jesus in your vessel? Are you willing to let Jesus in your vessel? Because the goal of Jesus every time he spoke was not just a sermon, was not just, hey, these are the 10 steps to having a blessed life. No, Jesus said that my prayer is that you have fellowship with the Father. So Jesus spoke to bring us into fellowship. He spoke to bring us into encounters with his Father. So those that were in the crowd, though they heard that sermon, they were good once the sermon was done. So they went home. But yet Simon Peter, the other audience, the one who was probably having the worst day of his life, actually let Jesus in his boat. In the crowd, or when we come in the crowd, when we are just the crowd on the shore, we can hide. We can come in, smile, hey, brother, How you doing? I'm doing good. Life is good. Cool. Go home. When we're in the crowd, nobody knows us. When we're in the crowd, we can just go through the motions. There's no truth. There's no life. There's no spirit. But when we actually let Jesus in our vessel, that's where the work and the transparency begins to happen. But the truth is this, and I know this from personal experience. It's easy to simply hear a sermon and feel good about life and go about your day. But letting Jesus in your boat is kind of messy. See, Simon was having the worst day of his life. Simon had spent the whole night fishing and caught nothing. So him letting Jesus in his boat was not just a physical act. Him letting Jesus in his boat was him allowing Jesus to see that he had just failed. He had just wasted time. He had wasted money. He had wasted effort. He had wasted his whole evening. And the boat is real life. The boat is where Jesus wants to get into. But the truth is that most times we simply come with the crowd just to hear a sermon, just to hear something that gives us just enough encouragement for the week, and we're good to go. But the truth is this, that Jesus comes to enter into every single one of our boats. Jesus wants to talk to every single one of us. See, it's not just a sermon. Jesus is trying to go from sermon to conversation. But we have to actually let him in. We can come in here and just do what we do, and that's great. Like, even those that work in the ministry, trust me, I do. It's so easy to just go through the motions because you know what to do. You know how to smile. You know how to speak like a Christian. We all do it, right? But the truth is this, that we all come in here with things, with real life, with real life. So the choice is simple. Are we going to just be those who came for the sermon and forget that sermon by Tuesday? Or are we going to be those that actually let Jesus in our boat? Because that is when true transformation and true instruction and true conversation and fellowship begins to happen. Because a well-preached sermon makes sense. You have your points, you know, your opening text, first point, second point, third point. But as Jesus said here in verse 4, once again, when he stopped speaking to the crowd, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." See, when we allow Jesus into our vessels, he begins to speak. He begins to talk. He begins to point things out. He begins to show us things that he wants us to do and not do. He begins to give us instructions. And that's where things get challenging. That's where things get real. Because a well-preached sermon makes sense. It's logical. But sometimes when the Holy Spirit inside of you begins to speak, it's not logical. Hey, that person hurt you. Forgive them first. That doesn't make sense. They should ask me for my forgiveness. You know, the Holy Spirit begins to work and talk and move and shift things around in us because he works in a way that when it does work out, we can take no credit for it. We can take no glory, nothing from it. Because God's instructions will often go against our own logic. Just like Noah. Noah, build a boat. But think about it. It had never rained before. What's a boat? What's rain? Moses, I'm going to choose you and you're going to go and do all these things. Lord, I can't speak. Okay, but I made your mouth. So how do you tell the one who made your mouth what the mouth can and can't do? Jesus loves to have us move in ways that go past our very logic. And that is what Peter or Simon saw here. Because Simon had been fishing all night, working all night. Because in those days, you actually fished at night. That was when fish rose to the surface. So fishing in the daytime was foolish. It didn't make sense. And Jesus, who is not a fisherman, is saying, fish like this. I mean, just thinking about that almost makes me kind of offended. Someone who has spent his whole life doing this thing. I know how to fish, Jesus. You preach, I fish. You don't fish, I preach. And he is saying, yeah, I get all that, but no, fish right now. See, when we allow the Lord inside, when we actually let him in our vessel, in our boat, the first thing that we can do sometimes when he speaks is to get offended. Because we're saying, yeah, but that's not how I would do it. Yeah, but they did me wrong first. Yeah, but logically, I want to spend this money. And you're saying save it. Yeah, but see, we all have those things where we can choose to be offended at the moving of the Holy Spirit in us. But notice what Peter said. In verse 6, Peter says, actually, I will start in verse 5. He says, but Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word. What word? What word? We often think that Peter is saying, at the instruction, at the commandment that you gave me to fish again. But Peter, just like the crowd, had just sat in that boat and heard that sermon. At that word. But Luke does not even write down what Jesus said in that sermon. Because once again, this sermon won't change your life. But this sermon should bring you to that place. This sermon should make faith rise in you to that place that when Jesus begins to speak in your vessel, you can say, okay, at your word, my faith has risen. My faith has come to a place where the one who can change my life will change my life as I listen and follow him. So we see here that Peter said, at your word. Because Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Simon Peter heard the word of God that day. But the only difference between Simon Peter and those that were on the shore that Simon Peter let Jesus in his boat. See, we can hear the word, but never hear the instruction. Because Jesus is not in our boat. He's not in our vessel. He's not in our hearts. We came to church just to hear a sermon. We didn't come to let him in. So we hear what the man of God is saying on stage, but we don't hear what he's saying to us. So Peter heard the instruction. He heard the instruction. And that very instruction, if you know this story, it changed the rest of his life as he threw his net to the side. Verse 6 and 7 says that they caught so many fish that the net was breaking. And then 7 says that they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And verse 9 said, for he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. So those that were with Peter and those that were still there, they saw what had happened. They saw the great catch. And many left with a great story. Oh man, you would not believe what happened at the lake. Jesus preached his fire sermon, and then Simon caught so many fishes, and all these things that we often do. Man, I went to church. The pastor was, man, he was on point. Suit was so nice. Preached a great sermon. But we don't leave with Jesus. Simon left with Jesus. Simon left with the prize. Many leave with a story. Many leave and can recap the sermon, but they have no instruction, no conversation, no fellowship, which is the whole point of every time God speaks to man. So when was the last time we left Sunday service with an instruction from God? When was the last time the pastor did not say it, but the Holy Spirit said it to you? Forgive that person, or you need to fast. See, that's the one I don't like right there. That you need to fast one, yeah. Or you need to pray at night. Or you need to apologize to your wife first. See, we don't like those ones. But oftentimes, every time that the word of God comes, the true word of God, the point of it is to bring you to a point where your faith can say, Holy Spirit, as you speak to me, I believe. Whatever you are asking me, I will do it. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Because you can hear great sermons all day. Trust me, we all have great ministers that we like. But the truth is that that minister cannot change your life. He's just a man. He's just a man just like you. Has issues and things that he's going through just like you. Only the word of God that you obey can change your life. Because many smart men have read this book and they still don't believe. So reading this book is not enough. It's what we obey. It's what we allow to actually come into our life and put its government on our life. See, Jesus wants to rule, but he doesn't, but because he's kind, because he's loving, because he's God, he doesn't force himself. We often miss the very first test that Simon went through. And that test was, hey, Simon, can I just get on your boat? We just skip right past it. But Simon was the one person that day that would choose to let Jesus get on his messy boat. Despite all that he had failed doing, despite the fact that he had caught no fish, despite the fact that he would have to go home and tell his wife, I wasted all night. And I brought home no money and no fish and lost all this time. Simon let Jesus into all of that. So this morning, are you simply satisfied hearing a good sermon? Is that really all you came for? Just to hear someone preach about Jesus and get some points and learn something, but never really have it enter into your vessel, into your heart. Because something that dawned on me as I was prepping for this sermon is this. You and I are currently sitting in an instruction that God gave to Pastor Lincoln and his wife. God spoke to them. They moved. And now you come here every Sunday sitting in that very instruction that he spoke to them. This was not spoken to them in a sermon, but he spoke to them because they let him in their vessel. And now we sit, now we benefit from that. See, there are many people that are waiting for you to actually just hear the voice of God for yourself and obey it. Many people that will eat off you. Many people that will be saved because of you. Many people that you will disciple and help and do things for. And you will see them in eternity. And they will say, thank you. Thank you for not just hearing that sermon, but for hearing the voice of God for yourself. So it's simple. Many are gathered in churches just like this right now. And they're hearing somebody preach. And once that man of God is done preaching, that's it. They go home. And Jesus doesn't speak no more. Not on Monday, not on Tuesday, not on Wednesday, not on Thursday, not on Friday, not on Saturday. Maybe next Sunday. But as we saw here, Jesus stopped speaking and then he began speaking to Simon. Because he's still speaking this day. He's still speaking right now. I'll begin to close with this. Like I told you at the start, this sermon will not change your life. I'm just a man like you. I go through my own things like you, and I still believe because I can only preach to the crowd. And when this sermon ends, after I'm finished speaking, Jesus doesn't have to stop speaking. He can keep on speaking. But the truth is this, right? See, Jesus, as great as he was, his earthly ministry was limited because he could only get on one boat. But as he went to the cross and became the life-giving spirit, he can now enter into everybody's boats here. He can now enter into your heart and begin to speak to you about that thing that you need to do, about that thing that he wants from you. Because if all we hear week after week after week after week are just sermons and sermons and sermons, but we never encounter him, at some point, you start to think that maybe this Bible thing just doesn't work. Or maybe this is just all it is. Hear a sermon, take notes, go home, come back, do it again. But we see here that Jesus is willing to enter into any boat. The boat doesn't have to be clean. It doesn't have to be fancy. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to have done everything right. I'm pretty sure Peter was a fisherman. He was a sailor who could not catch any fish. He was cursing all night long, mad. But yet Jesus entered that boat knowing all that, knowing that if I can just get into this boat, I can start to have a life-changing conversation. Because sermons don't change you, but letting Jesus inside, that's where the actual change begins. So which crowd are you today? Are you the one that came for the sermon on the shore? Are you the one that once I stop speaking, that's all of the Bible you're going to get for the rest of the day? Or are you the one who will choose to let Jesus on their boat, in their vessel, in their heart, so that he can begin to speak and talk to you and show you things? Because that was the very promise of Jesus, that I have many things to show you, but I can't right now because you can't bear them. But there's coming one, the Holy Spirit, who will guide you into all things. As a pastor, I can only lead you to the Holy Spirit. He's the one that will guide you into all things. Because I know the same things that you know, but the Holy Spirit knows what is inside. He knows what he wants to fix, what he wants to build, what he wants to change in you. All I can give you is a sermon. But Jesus, who is that life-giving spirit, he said that his words are spirit and truth. Those are the words that actually change. So who are you this morning? The crowd on the shore or the crowd of one that sat there with Jesus and actually let him in his vessel and actually began a conversation that would change millions and billions of lives? And we right now are where we are because Peter actually said yes to Jesus coming into his boat that day. Amen? So once again, the whole point of this sermon was to bring you to a point of faith where you can say, God, I've wasted too much time just hearing sermon after sermon. God, I've come to church without my heart. I've come to church without my vessel. I've come just to go through the motions. And it takes honesty to do that. It takes honesty to say that sometimes I just come and just do church because that's what I'm supposed to do, not what I want to do. But God this morning is saying, it's okay. I can work with that boat. So let's just all heads bow. Father, we just thank you this morning. We thank you because there's no boat too messy for you. We thank you because we don't have to be perfect. We don't have to say everything right. We don't have to look a certain way. We don't have to measure up as the world often tries to do. But Father, we can come and be honest and be just open and raw with you. Father, help us this morning to not be the crowd that comes for just a sermon. Help us to be a people that let you get into our very mess, into our very lives. Help us to be like Simon, a people who will truly let you get into our boat and let you begin that conversation that will change our lives. Because, Father, you have more than just a sermon. You have truth in life. And that truth in life is found in your instructions. It's found in the fellowship as we let your Holy Spirit begin to work on our hearts. Father, forgive us for just going through the motions. Forgive us for thinking that we can fool you when you see all things. Forgive us for hiding from you like Adam did in the garden when you called for him. Adam, where are you? Father, help us to present ourselves to you, knowing that you are faithful and just to forgive all our sins, and that there is nothing in our vessel, nothing in our boat that you cannot fix, nothing that you cannot change. Jesus, we need more than just words. We need more than a sermon. We need an encounter with you. We need your Holy Spirit to begin to speak to us, to begin to lead us, to begin to guide us. Because, Father, we need you on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on every day of the week, Father. You died so that we can fellowship with you, Lord, not just on Sundays, but all throughout our life, Lord. Because as your word says, this is eternal life, that we might know the one true Father. And we can know him every day of every minute. So once again, Lord, we just thank you for your word. But we thank you for the truth, Father, that has been spoken. We thank you, Lord, that as I speak, Father, faith begins to rise in your people, Lord. Help them, Lord, to believe that you want to talk to them, that you want to have a conversation with them, that you don't have to speak through the minister, that you can speak to them. Father, you want them, you love them, because you've paid the price for them with your life. Once again, God, we thank you, and we give you all the glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That was a very good message. And I just pray that as we leave here, that we leave here with, what is it, Lord, that you want me to do? What is it that I need to work on? And that we actually think about what he said, that it's not just another sermon. And that we won't just turn a deaf ear on it. You know, sometimes as the pastor is speaking, or the speaker may say something that may make you mad, upset, or you may have turmoil in your heart, ask yourself, why am I upset? Why is this bothering me so much? Because it's something that God wanted you to hear. Not to get mad at the pastor, but to examine yourself and say, what is it that I need to change? Go to God. Most of the time, we already know what it is. But we're running from it, and we don't want to change because we like it. So just ask ourselves, what is it that I need to do to sit like Peter did and listen to God and be obedient to him? If you haven't had a chance to give, we ask that you please do so, so that we can support the ministry and let the word go all around the world. And we thank those of you who came out to Ignite Prayer this past Friday. We're glad that you came out. Hope to see you again the next first Friday from 7 to 9. And if you would stand, I'm going to dismiss us. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the word that you give to the speaker. And God, is, we know that you speak through the speaker. And I just pray that we will listen to what you have given them to give to us, and that we'll be obedient to your word, and that we will listen to you as you instruct us on what we need to do to make our lives better. Because on this earth, obedience to you is so much better than to not be obedient. Father God, we thank you for your word, for your son Jesus who died on the cross for us. And I just pray that the next crowd coming in, God, will come in with an expectance, with an expectancy at our 11 o'clock service to get what it is that you have given the pastor to give to us. I pray this, Father God, in Jesus' most precious and holy name, amen and amen. You are dismissed.